We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good one?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to f*** this up.
God, Greg, what kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, 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 yo,
that was mad yo's. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday. Good morning.
Yeah, man. We here.
What a week.
Today feels like the first Friday. Is it the first Friday of 2021? I don't even remember. Or is it the second Friday of 2021?
No, I think it's the
I'm not sure.
Second.
New Year's was on Friday.
Second Friday, yeah.
It's the second Friday. It's our first Friday back at work for 2021.
Correct.
Either way, I'm tired this morning. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm exhausted. This has been a draining week already.
Crazy week.
2021 going to be... If 2021 gonna be this a drain, and I'm cool. I'll go back.
Well, I finished. I finished watching Bridgerton last night, so that was exciting for me.
Does it get better? Because I started watching it yesterday, mm-hmm. and it started off slow. And I actually fell asleep. I think Gia watched the first couple of episodes, but I was like, damn, does it get a little better?
I thought it was good in the first couple of episodes. You just have to figure out what's going on because it's setting up everything for you. It's great. There's a lot of twists and turns and a lot of people that are doing things that later on you're like, oh, that's why they did that. It's really good.
Gotcha.
And it looks amazing. You could tell they spent a lot of money on it.
They definitely spent a lot of money on that. Absolutely, positively, they spent a lot of money on that show.
It's good to have those breaks, but it's very hard to turn away from the news.
Yes.
At a time like this. Plus, there's mm-hmm. plus that's the best show on television. It's on
the
it's
news.
On the news right
yes,
now.
It is.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. And you know what?
I
think I was watching the news all day, and I had a pretty rough week personally, so I needed a moment. I was like, I need to do something for myself just for a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it today after the show. Now, you know what? Shout out to Casanova. Shout out if anybody is up and y'all listening, tell Casanova we said what's up. Casanova sent to Y, said, yo, y'all, we ain't shout him out yet. I guess he listens every morning. He said we ain't hear him shout us out. So shout out to Casanova.
Yeah, we did. We talked about how they also raised their money for Bill and put up took a few people that did that. And, you know, we discussed all of that.
We literally dropped one of Clue's bombs for Casanova. I believe it was yesterday. It was one day this week. I know that for a fact.
We need some updates on what's happening. Is he getting out? I know they raised that $2.5 million.
Yeah, well, shout out to Casanova. Sent the wife, said, damn, the Breakfast Club don't F with me. They ain't even shout me out. So shout out to Casanova.
Well, wrong, Casanova. We definitely did.
Okay. All right, well, send that wife.
You're worried about the wrong things right now, Casanova.
I don't think it was like that.
I understand the positive energy and you want to, you know, stay optimistic, but you're worried about the wrong things.
Okay. No, you just listen to the morning. People
have their own personal things going on, so we cannot ever take away from that.
Word, shout out to Cassie.
Yeah, everybody has their own way of coping. But, you know, yeah, he's still worried about the wrong things at this time.
He just said, she didn't make it seem like that. They just said, yo, shout out to the Breakfast Club. Also, you know whose birthday is today?
No.
Who?
It's all Kelly's birthday.
Oh, Angie Martinez.
Oh, Angie Martinez's birthday. Yes, it's Angie Martinez.
You ruined that, MV. Yes, happy birthday, Angie.
I was going to R. Kelly first, you know, the old jail thing.
Guys, are you doing an R. Kelly mix or something?
No, I'm not.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, we woke up this morning on January 8th and said, you know whose birthday it is? It's Angie Martinez. Actually, Angie's birthday is tomorrow, though, so we're a day early.
Oh, you're a day early.
Today's Clue's birthday, then,
today's
right?
Clue's birthday, I think, right?
God damn. Your maker. It's his birthday, DJ Clue. Drop one of Clue's bombs for DJ Clue. You shot out on Kelly first. You said yourself you wouldn't be in the position you in if it wasn't DJ Clue, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning and you shouting out R. Kelly instead of
right.
DJ Clue.
Because what I do is every morning I do my mix, I look up and see whose birthday it is to see if I'm going to do that mix, and R. Kelly popped up. So I'm like, wow, it's R. Kelly's birthday, but I'm not doing an R. Kelly mix. But that's what I said.
You better do a DJ Clue mix. Yeah. Okay, you better remember what gremlin you popped off. All right, Clue didn't eat after midnight and get wet for nothing. All right?
Shut up, man. Why is everything so kinky with you, man? Clue is my brother.
I'm talking about gremlins. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you talk about. You never know what you. But let's get the show cracking, because this is getting uncomfortable and getting a little strange and weird, all right? All right. Stephen A. Smith will be joining us this morning.
Okay. The good brother Stephen A. He's got a new show coming out, right?
Yeah, so we're going to kick it with
Stephen A. He's got a new show premiering on ESPN Plus, I think, on Monday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we'll kick it with Stephen A., all right? And let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Yes, we'll be talking about Donald Trump. He has finally publicly acknowledged that he's not going to be serving a second term, and we have that for you.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, I didn't see the game last night. Did you see the game, Yee, last night? The Brooklyn Nets versus the 76ers?
No, I told you what I was
doing.
I fell asleep on that,
The Brooklyn Nets won. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant didn't play. The Philadelphia 76ers, even though they got the best record in the league, they stunk up the place.
Really?
Had 20 turnovers, I believe. Yeah. And so the Nets won.
I saw one of their players got COVID, so they had to stay overnight.
Wow. So Kyrie and KD didn't play, and they still won?
Kyrie didn't play. KD didn't play. Spencer Dinwiddie's out for the season, and they definitely still won. But, I mean, Philly had a terrible game, though, like a terrible, terrible game.
Wow. Okay. All right, E, what else we got?
All right, well, let's talk about Donald Trump. Now, he has finally admitted that he did not win this election, so he won't be serving a second term. He was reading from a teleprompter. He was very somber and monotonous when he gave the speech. And I don't know if he called himself condemning the rioters and the terrorists that went to the Capitol, but he also did tell them that he loves them. Here's what he said.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay.
Was he forced to say that?
First of all, that's what you call too little, too late. You can't be the catalyst of an attempted coup in America. I think 5 people dead, 1 police officer, and you wait until after that to concede? No, sir. Donald Trump needs to be arrested. Nothing more, nothing less. Everyone that stormed the Capitol should be arrested, and everyone who encouraged folks to invade the Capitol should be arrested. There's absolutely nothing else folks should be talking about. Nothing.
Well, a lot of people in his cabinet had started resigning, as well as people that had been supporting him and working with him. Other people had been considering resigning. And from what people are saying inside the around the White House is that he actually gave the speech because of people's threats to resign. And they're also talking about impeaching him. Now, here he is recognizing finally that he did not win this last election.
We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power.
After you done burnt the place down.
Right.
Like, stop, man. I told y'all yesterday, when attempted coups happen in other countries, they line you up and execute you the same day. So, therefore, there has to be consequences and repercussions for what happened yesterday. This can't just be another headline. This isn't just another slap on the wrist, you know, just chalking it up to Trump and his supporters being crazy. No, examples have to be made. People got to be thrown under the jail.
Right. It's interesting that if they would have just arrested people on the scene, we wouldn't be going through this trying to identify people. Now they're asking for tips for people who were spotted at the Capitol and involved in these riots. But if you would have just arrested them there, we wouldn't have to do this now.
100%. And I don't respect anybody in his administration who's just resigning now. Okay. What did you just why did you just come to that conclusion? It's only 12 days left for y'all to be in office. I don't respect that resignation. Knock it off.
All right. Well,
you're gonna have a job in 12 days. You're not gonna have a job in 12 days anyway. So what's the point of resigning? You're just getting an early start on vacation.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Tim from Long Island.
Hey, Tim. Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, what's going on? So real quick, Charlamagne, you recently on The Brilliant Idiots last night. I watched the episode. We're talking about fiancés that passed away. My sister's fiance actually passed away a week before Christmas last year. And we're still dealing with the loss. But I just wanted to say that I'm proud of you, Kelly. And I'm proud of you for staying so strong, for being so strong for the family and everybody. And Charlamagne, if you could just send her a little bit of motivation and maybe a copy of your book and just send out a little bit of love. I know she would love that because she loves you.
Man, I would love to do that for her, man. I'm sending her positive energy, love, and light, and most importantly, healing energy this morning. I'll definitely do that for you.
Please, I really do appreciate that. And, you know, she's a big fan of you. We listen to you guys every morning. And they're brilliant idiots also, even back when you guys were just on the podcast, not even on YouTube. You know, we were just listening to you guys, not even watching. We really do appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you saying that for her.
Well, sorry for your loss,
bro. I appreciate that. Have you seen Andrew's Shirt Saves America special on Netflix yet?
Oh, of course. Listen, I've done nothing but promote that man's special. I've worn nothing but the fashion shirt that says just do it yourself because I believe in that motto because I've been doing nothing but work myself as well. I respect his hustle. That's one man I idolize.
All right.
Dope, man. Don't hang up so we can get your address to send the book.
Hold on, okay?
I appreciate that. Really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, who's this?
This is Tanya from Charlotte.
Hey, Tanya. Good morning. Get it off your
704.
Chest.
704. The foe.
Yes, I just want to give you guys a big shout out. I listen to you every morning. I'm actually on the road right now on my way to New York. I want to give a shout out to my children, my daughter Maya and my son Makai. I love you guys and have a blessed day.
You too. Thank
All
you
right.
so much,
brother. Yes, sir. Travel safe.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's the one and only. It's The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man
or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's going on, Evie? It's Rick. Good morning, Angela. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Rick, what's up?
Rick, what's up, King? Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you guys, too, man. Happy Friday. I'm calling about Trump and why we should get him out before these 12 days are up. If we get him out now and they impeach him, then we ain't got to worry about him 4 years from now. And God knows I'm tired of hearing his name. I'm tired of all the attention he gets. I just want to get rid of him and get him out of here. But I call for two things. For that and on a lighter note, somebody, you got Envy. You're friends with Nori. Nori is a friend to the room up there at the Breakfast Club. Can someone tell him to stop talking over his guest on Drink Champs? I swear to God, I love Drink Champs so much. But bro. Nori steps on every guest.
That's part of the show. He's been doing it from the start.
Yeah,
Drink episodes are like 4 hours long. He talks. He asks the best questions. He has the best guest. And every time he asks a question, he talks right over them and kills the question. Please.
But that's the beauty of Nori, though. Like, that's the beauty of the whole Drink Champs podcast.
Yes.
Him, DJ F, and they all in there just drinking.
That's a real good question that you're going to, like, yo, you're waiting to hear the answer. And then he steps on a person, and the person never answers the question. And you're left. Teach him how to interview. One of y'all, teach him how to interview.
Nori does good, man.
The problem is when you start drinking, that's just what happens.
And smoking.
That's part of the fun of the show. It's Drink Champs.
That's right.
And Nori don't read the comments on YouTube because everybody says it.
By the way, even if Nori did read the comments on YouTube, he wouldn't care. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Nori and the Drink Champs.
Shout out to Nori. What podcast is 4 hours?
That's good, but it's good information, man. I love doing Nori's podcast. You know what it is? When you do Nori's podcast, it's not an interview. You're sitting down, you're drinking, you're smoking, you're reminiscing about good times, and you just start having a good conversation. So that's Nori, man.
And you got to listen to Nori's podcast in parts. You know what I mean? You know, I don't listen to it in one sitting. It takes me a couple of days. And make sure you can catch the Drink Champs podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, too.
All right. Hello, who's this?
What up, though? This man from Detroit.
What up, though? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, what up, though? Detroit.
Man, look, I'm at work like I am every day. I work for the post office, and, man...
Congratulations.
Man, it's out the White House. I need y'all to make sure we get some type of compensation. We done had to deal with these first round of checks and people. We had to deal with these ballots and people. Now we got to deal with more checks and people. Like, man, this is ridiculous, dog. And we get no love.
And y'all still haven't gotten the funding y'all needed to get all of that
Nothing.
Done. But y'all still
so now that the crazy man gone, man, y'all got a platform. Y'all can talk to anybody at any time. Please do something for us, dog. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defund the police and fund the post office.
Man, fund the post, defund whoever, but fund the post office, man.
What? Yeah, just imagine how we would feel, how we feel when we're not getting our mail. We get so mad, and yeah, that's a difficult thing. Yeah, we need that.
And imagine having to deal with the people who not getting these checks that they just not sending out, that they expect to be in their mailbox already.
Yeah, I've been seeing y'all fighting people out there. I've been people trying to swing on y'all for them checks and all that. And I posted a picture yesterday of me in the post office. And the reason being, if it wasn't for the post office helped my career with the cash on delivery when I used to do mixtapes. I used to go to the post office with 100 packages and send them out. And so I just wanted to, I saluted them yesterday. So, but we appreciate all that you do, bro.
All right, man. Show me about talking to somebody. Get somebody on here and make them answer some questions about us, man. That's what you can do for us, please.
Okay. All right. Let's figure it out.
And next time somebody runs up on you and say, where's my check? You say, man, I was thinking the same damn thing. Where's my check?
My goodness. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, and we are going to be talking about Casanova since we have to shout him out because he's wondering what's up with us. And we told you about him raising money for bail, but now it doesn't look like they want him to get out of jail. We'll tell you what they're saying about Casanova.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Soho Karen, a.k.a. Maya Ponsetto, has been arrested in California. She's the one who allegedly assaulted the 14-year-old son of Keon Harold, who is a famous jazz musician, at a hotel in Soho in Manhattan. And she finally got arrested. You know, she was basically trying to say that she suffers from anxiety, so on and so forth. But she did accuse him of stealing her cell phone at the hotel and tried to attack him and snatch his phone. So...
I'm glad she got arrested, but I don't have no faith that she will be convicted. Not after what I saw this week. You know, like these folks literally get away with murder. Like literally.
All right. Now, the Lakers would reportedly like to visit the White House after Joe Biden takes office. So they're very interested in doing that after Joe Biden has been sworn in. So, as you know, LeBron is not a big fan of Donald Trump at all. And a lot of people are saying this visit will only happen if the schedules of the team and Joe Biden's line up for that opportunity. And then obviously have to have those COVID-19 protocols.
Well, the only reason the Lakers need an invitation is because they're black. When you're white in America, you can just
storm it
without an invite.
All right, Michelle Obama. She also has talked about these pro-Trump riots, and she shared her thoughts on everything that happened at the Capitol. And she talks about the massive difference between how police handled that situation compared to the demonstrations that happened last summer with Black Lives Matter. She said it left me with so many questions about the future, questions about security, extremism, propaganda, and more. But there's one question I just can't shake. What if these rioters had looked like the folks who go to Ebenezer Baptist Church every Sunday? What would have been different? I think we all know the answer. This summer's Black Lives Matter protests were an overwhelmingly peaceful movement, our nation's largest demonstrations ever, bringing together people of every race and class and encouraging millions to reexamine their own assumptions and behavior. And yet, in city after city after day, we saw day after day, we saw peaceful protesters met with brute force. Mm. So she did a whole letter. You guys should check that out, where she talks about the terrorists that attacked the Capitol on earlier.
I wonder if our former first lady, forever first lady, I wonder if she still thinks we should go high. When they go low, we go high. Sounds like a strategy to get killed at this point. When they go low, you got to go to the mat with them. That's my personal opinion.
All right, now let's talk about Casanova. He's been trying to get out of jail on bail right now, and he raised $2.5 million, but right now, they are not trying to let him go. Now, according to a new court filing that the feds have filed, they said that he has access to numerous firearms, dealt large amounts of weed for the Gorilla Stone Bloods gang, and they said he should remain in jail while awaiting his trial. So they also have images from his phone, and they're showing an assault rifle, an assortment of handguns, and a rifle. And they said his text messages revealed his branded marijuana served as a revenue stream for the Gorilla Stone Bloods. That's what the feds are charging right now. So it doesn't look too hopeful that he'll be able to get out. But a judge does still have to rule on his request for bail. He is facing a minimum sentence of 15 years and a maximum of life if he is convicted.
And just on a side note, shout out to Casanova. On a side note, if you have something in your phone, whether it's a picture and you think that you have a code and they can't get through your code, you know they can get through your code to see what's in your phone.
Oh, please.
For everybody out there. A lot of people don't believe it. Like, you know, somebody stole my car and the reason they got caught was they had a picture of it in their phone. And I guess they thought because they had a password. Look, the police can go to anybody's phone, mm-hmm. password or not. Just so you know that. So if you put something funny on your phone, they'll get to it.
That's why I laugh at these people when they say things like they don't want to take the vaccine because they're going to put tracking devices in you. What the hell you think your phone is? They already got tabs on you. They know exactly every move you're making and how you're moving it. Knock it off.
All right, now let's talk about Deb Antony. You know her, of course, as Waka Flocka's mom, a manager extraordinaire. She's on Growing Up Hip Hop. Well, one thing, you could tell they've been filming this way in advance. So on the premiere episode of this new season, she talks about her support for Donald Trump.
I'm getting into politics a little bit more now than I've ever gotten into it.
I need to ask you about that, too. You down for Trump?
Right, yes.
Really?
You pro-Trump?
So, huh?
You pro-Trump?
Yeah.
Why? What is up with that?
Because what you see is what you get. He could be ghetto. He could be everything it is that people say. I don't know why we beefing with it, because that's how the hell we do and everybody beefing with it. That man is who he is, and there's no hidden agenda.
I mean, that just because you know who someone is doesn't mean that you know, person isn't a threat to your absolute existence.
I mean, or that they should be president.
A person can keep it real and still get you killed. Yeah, that don't mean that he should run the country.
All right. Well, should be interesting to watch. And, you know, again, that's one thing that didn't age well. So clearly they filmed this in advance. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
Kind of dated material at this point. They should kind of edit that, don't you think? Or do a reshoot. That's dated material. When did that show premiere?
It just did.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already out. Oh, so it's not
the first episode. That's just the first episode. That's just the first premiere episode of the season. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's still president. It makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about Joe Biden and what he has to say about everything that's happening right now, about the Capitol, Donald Trump, and all of that.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
But it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. It's time for front page news.
Yes, let's talk about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. They called yesterday for the immediate removal of Donald Trump after the breach of the Capitol by all of the rioters that he incited on Wednesday. Here is what Pelosi had to say.
In calling for this seditious act, President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this president by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the Vice President and the Cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
I don't see what's the point in any of that with him being out of the White House in the next 13 days.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Somebody has to explain that logic to me.
It don't make sense to me either. See, he got, what, 12 days left? Like, let's get low and then drag his ass out.
Right. I mean, and the way that Donald Trump's ego works, I'm sure that would just be the ultimate blow to him, though, because everything that he does is very self-serving. So I'm sure.
Why would he be? He's already been impeached. And that's the other thing. We keep saying we need to impeach him. He's been impeached already. Impeach again.
All right. Now let's talk about Joe Biden and what he had to say about these rioters at the Capitol. Here is Joe Biden.
It was chaos. They weren't protesters. Don't dare call them protesters. They were a riotous mob, insurrectionists, domestic terrorists. It's that basic. It's that simple. And I wish we could say we couldn't see it coming.
Joe Biden also said what we all already know. Listen to this.
No one can tell me that if had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesting yesterday, they wouldn't have been treated very, very differently than the mob of thugs that stormed the Capitol. We all know that's true. And it is unacceptable. The American people saw it in plain view, and I hope it sensitized them to what we have to do.
Man, folks like Joe Biden have sat back and watched this type of racial injustice happen for years in this country, and now he's saying things like he hopes this woke people up to what's going on and what we have to do. Like, knock it off, Joseph. Like, just yesterday he said this wasn't America, and now he's basically saying this is America. Stop it, okay? Stop stating the obvious and using words like unacceptable for a situation like this. That's a weak word to use right now. When they get your order wrong at Chick-fil-A, that's unacceptable. This was treason, an attempted coup, something folks get executed for in other countries. Did Joe call for any arrests yesterday? Is he talking about getting the president locked up? Is he talking about locking up any of the domestic terrorists, the members of Vanilla ISIS and Al Qaeda that was wilding at the Capitol? Did he talk about that?
Bro, they never get your order wrong at Chick-fil-A. I just want to put that out there, by the way, but go ahead.
No, every now, listen, I agree with you, but every now and then on very rare occasions, and that's why it's unacceptable.
Okay.
The FBI is seeking information on people who did storm the Capitol. They're asking for the public to help identify those individuals who were, quote, actively instigating violence.
You had them. You had them all. You could have just arrested them.
Had them right there.
You walked them out.
You had them right there.
There was one picture I seen you held a lady's hand and helped her down the stairs. You had them all.
Just go on Instagram. The guy, Richard Barnett from Arkansas, that broke into Nancy Pelosi's office and stole her mail, he's been doing interviews. All right, he had his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. He literally tried to get booked on the Breakfast Club. Okay, I'm lying. But my point is, he's been doing interviews. Like, his name is Richard Barnett. How IG can find him before the FBI? Stop, man. It's all BS.
Well, right now, the FBI is accepting tips and digital media, including photos and videos.
Oh, my God. Go on my Instagram page. Follow Sean King, FBI. Follow Sean King. You will get all the information you need.
Right now, as of last night, the police made 52 arrests, including 4 for carrying pistols without a license and 1 for possession of a prohibited weapon. And they said 26 of those 52 arrests were made on Capitol grounds.
Go lock up Richard Barnett, all them other members of Vanilla ISIS and Al Qaeda, and go arrest Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and all of those people for conspiracy. It's so amazing to me that they can come through hoods of America and, you know, the FBI can lock up multiple people, hit folks with conspiracy charges that didn't have anything to do with nothing, just was standing next to a person, but they can't do that in this situation? Come on.
Now, a U.S. Capitol police officer also died from injuries that he suffered while reportedly being struck in the head with a fire extinguisher during the riots on Wednesday. Brian D. Sicknick is his name. He collapsed when he returned to his office, and he was taken to the hospital, and he died yesterday.
Come on now. Blue Lives Matter. All right? Blue Lives Matter. You had members of Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, and Vanilla ISIS kill a cop. Why are they not under the jail right now? You mean to tell me there's no cameras in the Capitol building? They can't identify these people?
They can.
And the Capitol Police Chief has also resigned after criticism over the whole mob that took over.
Yeah, he should have resigned. And that one black officer, he should get some type of raise. That one black officer that was fighting off all of them by himself, running back and forth, swinging his club. He should get it. He's by himself. Why not? He's by himself against 30 people and still.
You know why he shouldn't get no raise? Because he ain't raise his gun and let that hammer fly. All right, okay. If that was a mob of black people, whether that cop was black or white, he'd have pulled out his gun and got the bussing. He thought twice because he saw all of them white folks coming at him.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I mean, I'm from Page News.
Now, question: the officer that shot the lady, was he black? Because people said he was black. Do we know?
I have no idea. I don't even know if that was a police officer.
I don't want to confirm or deny anything.
Secret Service agent, they said. All right.
Well, Secret Service agents, they shoot to kill. You can't even get close. As soon as you get close to the president or the vice president, if they tell you back away one time and you don't, pow! That's your ass, Mr. Postman.
Damn. Not the Postman. All right. Now, people are Postman, that's front page.
And women.
Now, when we come back, Stephen A. Smith will be joining us. We'll kick it with Stephen A. Smith. He got a new show. We're going to be talking sports and a whole bunch of everything. So don't move. Stephen A. Smith, when we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up. It's The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Stephen A. Smith.
The other day, I'm watching basketball like I always do, and I'm seeing people not appreciate Steph Curry. Or do people forget what Steph Curry has done for the league and how he changed the league?
They forget. They don't realize that I'm not being hyperbolic when I say this. He's the greatest shooter man has ever seen.
I agree.
The other day, he was in practice. He hit 105 straight three-pointers.
That's crazy.
And so when you look at Steph Curry, and I explained this to Allen Iverson just about 2 weeks ago, because they would talk about Dame Dollar, Damian Lillard, who I love. Damian Lillard averaged 30 last year and shot 40% from three-point range. It was the first time in his career he did that. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that Steph Curry shot better than 40% from three-point range for the first 10 years of his career?
That's crazy.
The first 10 years. And I'm like, and I say, AI, the brother moves, it's bad enough he can shoot from anywhere, but he moves without the ball better than most. And he has a better handle than anybody that can shoot nearly as well as he could shoot in the career. He is the greatest shooter mankind has ever seen.
I want to expound on Envy's question, because we was debating this over the holidays. You know, we had the Magic Bird era. The Pistons kind of disrupted that, winning two championships. Then it was absolutely the Michael Jordan era. Then it was the Kobe Shaq era, the Spurs era. When we look back over the last, say, decade of basketball, who would you say this era belonged to? Now, I know you're going to say LeBron, but is it fair to say this is the LeBron-Curry era, the way it was the Bird-Magic era?
I think it's fair. And the only reason, I think it's fair only from the standpoint that Curry's got three rings, five straight trips to the finals, and three of those times he beat LeBron.
That's right.
Here's my caveat, only for that reason.
Back-to-back MVPs don't count? Only unanimous MVP in NBA history?
You know, because LeBron was right there. Here's where LeBron gets it. You go to 9 straight NBA finals. You've been to 10 finals in the last 11 years. And it's 3 different teams. And it's with the eye of the storm placed on your shoulder. See, we don't talk about it enough, but y'all can appreciate this. LeBron growing up in Akron, being relatively poor and fatherless, having the trials and tribulations, the struggles, and building himself into what he is an entirely different story than you being Steph Curry, light-skinned, good-looking brother, smaller, so people identify with you more. Because you look at LeBron, everybody can't be 6'9", 260, but you can be 6'3", you know, 180. You see what I'm saying? And you grow up in a well-to-do and an affluent lifestyle because your father was an NBA player, beautiful family, North Carolina, comfort zone, all of that stuff, some of the trials and tribulations, some of the adversity that other dudes face, you didn't have to endure. So there's a level of comfort that you capitalized off of that may have assisted in your ascension. LeBron came from the gutter and rose to unparalleled heights. And that's the difference, and that's why we can't ignore that this is the LeBron era.
Now let me ask. I know you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Knicks are pretty good. Knicks are doing all right now. So far. Let's look at New York. What do you think about the Knicks, and what do you think about Yee's Brooklyn Nets?
Well, first of all,
I already heard what he thought.
The Knicks are playing with house money. We don't expect anything from them. They're not a damn thing because they've been sorry for too long. But World Wide West, William Wesley, that's my man. We go back years. Scott Perry being an African-American serving as their GM. Thank God they didn't let him go when they let Steve Mills go as president of the team. And then Tom Thibodeau is an exceptional coach. And he's going to have you playing hard, and he's going to have you defending. And the fact that the New York Knicks are devoid of a bona fide star means they got to use their bench. So you got a constant rotation of like 9, 10, 11 players sometimes being used, which means they got fresh legs and they can defend and really go after you. That's what we're seeing right now. We'll see how long that lasts. But as far as I'm concerned, if they finish 500 at 36-36 with a 72-game season, I'd love that. The Brooklyn Nets, Angela, are a different matter. Anything less than a trip to the NBA Finals is unacceptable.
I agree.
Kevin Durant is one of the top two players on the planet. I don't give a damn what anybody says. And Kyrie Irving is an absolute showstopper. He's box office, got the nastiest handle in basketball, can finish the basket, can shoot. The brother is special. Those two in the Eastern Conference should be enough. But they also have Caris LeVert, who can ball. And the Joe Harris's and the Jared Allen's of the world, these guys can contribute to something. I love the pickup of Jeff Green. I didn't like Steve Nash as the coach. I like Steve Nash as a person, but I had a problem, and I called it white privilege when he got the job. I don't know of a black man that has never coached on any level that would get that job. I didn't say a coaching job. Mark Jackson never coached. Doc Rivers hadn't coached at the time. You know, there's been others. Derek Fisher hadn't coached at the time. We get that. They didn't get that job. But right now, the reason I bring it up is because they're talking about Steve Nash. They're talking about the team's a little bit soft. They're talking about they got some woes to consider because they don't play good defense, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you had a coach with more experience, that might not be an issue.
Let me ask you a question, Stephen A. Do you ever stop and say to yourself, I am the face of ESPN? Like when people think ESPN, they think Stephen A. Smith. Like, that's a hell of a position for a black man to be in.
I think about it a little bit now because of the check that I get. The fact that I got that new contract. All right, but I never wanted to hear that prior to my last contract because my attitude is I ain't getting paid like it. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Y'all can go to that nonsense all y'all want to, but these people ain't paying me what I deserve, what I earn, the money that I, the revenue that I generate, the money that I bring in, et cetera, et cetera. But after this new contract, it's safe to say I can't really say that now. So because of that, I have to change my tune just a touch and recognize the fact that, you know, I'm the face of ESPN. But what I'm most proud of is that they've never asked me to compromise something I would never compromise, and that's my blackness. And for me, you know, I pride myself. I'm not just a black man. I'm a brother. Regardless of what people want to say and how they want to come at me, I tell folks all the time, you can't find a brother that does what we do, that can ever, a brother or sister that can ever say, I didn't try to help us along the way. I make sure to address diversity issues. I make sure that with my show, there's going to be diversity on the show. My boss is black. My executive producer, my number two, is black. He's Rashawn McDonald. Used to work with Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
that's right. That's my number two guy. I brought him on board. He works for me under my production arm, stuff like that.
Well, I made all this money and making all these moves. Okay, I get it now.
What's happening? Well, bro, I'm coming for you too. I'm not playing because I want to be the guy that serves as a conduit, like I said earlier, to make sure that voices other than myself contribute to my voice. I don't want to be the only one that's heard. I want to show showcase. I want to hear when Charlamagne calls me, gives me the donkey of the day or the donkey of the week award. I want to know why. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear stuff like that. Don't bother me. I'm like, okay, iron sharpens iron. We correct one another. That's the kind of stuff that's important to me. It's always been important to me. And now I'm in a better position to make it happen. Obviously, there's people that I answer to. I have bosses, but I'm not just a talent. I'm a boss now. And so I try to make things happen.
You bet on sports a lot? Like, were you betting on this?
I never bet on sports at all. No, I never bet on sports, ever. Say, for example, I bet on LeBron to win the finals, and then he go out and mess up. Say if I bet on J.R. Smith and then he forget that the score is tied or something like that, and I go off, people come off or people come at me like, man, you just going off because you lost your money. You lost money. No, I don't do that. I don't give that kind of ammunition to anybody like that. I'm on the up and up with all of that.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Stephen A. Smith. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Stephen A. Smith.
Is James Harden a crybaby? People are saying that James Harden is a crybaby. What are your thoughts of James?
I don't view James Harden that way. I got a lot of love for James Harden. I think that here's what we have to appreciate about James Harden. James Harden shows up, bro.
He gets busy. Now,
he came into this season. Let's call it what it is. He looked fat. He looked about 12, 15 pounds overweight. No training camp, no preseason, and dropped 44 game one. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's entirely different than Dwayne Haskins, quarterback for the Washington football team. You know, you got strippers coming in, and, you know, you during the middle of the week, you're supposed to be the quarterback of the team. You've been stinking up the joint, and then you stink up the joint that Sunday after it happens. No wonder your ass got cut. James Harden doesn't do that. He's mad when he ain't playing 35, 40 minutes a night. He's never engaged in load management. So we have to take that into consideration. What he was saying is that I'm not in a winning situation. Our window in Houston is closed. Get me up out of here, man. Don't leave me here to carry this when you know we don't have what we needed. The problem is he had a lot to do with that. He wanted Dwight Howard, then he didn't want him. He wanted CP3, then he didn't want him. Matter of fact, he walked into the offices of the Rockets. That night they lost, and they lost in game 6. He walked into the offices with the owner, with the GM. He said, I want CP3 out of here. They got CP3 out of there. They got your boy Westbrook. And then y'all didn't want to play together either. They still boys, they still tight, but they didn't want to play together, right? Because Westbrook didn't want to stand around and play the role of spectator watching, you know, James Harden dribble all day. What I'm saying is they gave you what you wanted. So I do understand when people want to come at him. What I would say is that this is one of the most prolific offensive players we've ever seen who never cheats us. He shows up and he shows out. And I'm going to give you your props and your respect because you do that.
What team do you see him on this year?
I thought he needed to go to Brooklyn or Philly because I didn't think there was anywhere else for him to go where he'd be a title contender. Because obviously with the money he's making, you got to give up assets in order to get him because the CBA rules, the collective bargaining rules, call for your salaries to fall within 85% of one another. So you can't trade a $40 million player for somebody making $5 million. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Unless they got significant money under the cap, which most teams do not. And so as a result of that, you look at Philadelphia, him with Embiid and the rest of their crew, yeah. But right now, Doc Rivers got them looking like the best team in basketball. They got the best record in basketball. In Brooklyn, I personally believe the only chance you have to beat LeBron this year in L.A. with Anthony Davis is for James Harden to join KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn. Otherwise, Brooklyn will lose to L.A. in the finals or they won't get there. But
there's enough basketballs to go around if that happens. Kyrie already taking more shots than KD.
I agree. But I'm talking about chances. I'm saying they would have to modify that because already it's a problem in Brooklyn. You can't have Kyrie shooting more than KD. Now, KD's efficient, so it don't matter. Because even though Kyrie's taking 3 more shots than a game than him, he's still averaging 2 points more than Kyrie. All I'm saying is the chance of beating LeBron, I can't see Brooklyn or anybody else knocking off Anthony Davis and LeBron James in a finals appearance without James Harden.
Got you. I know you got to get up out of here. My final question, do you have a desire for people to see who you are beyond the sports?
Yeah, to some degree, only from the standpoint that, you know, again, I don't want to pigeonhole myself. I don't want to be somebody that's just about sports. You know, when I remember when And I tell, you know, my white bosses this a lot of times. I've said this to them a lot of times. White folks come to work with a job to do every day. We come with a responsibility. What I mean by that is I remember when Trayvon Martin got shot, I'm walking down the streets and black folks walking up to me. Stephen A., you got to touch on this. Stephen A., you got to say this. Yeah, that wasn't a sports story, but they said it was necessary. And then when the Miami Heat put on their hoodies, they really said, you got to touch on this. Now I was going to anyway, but they were telling me that. White folks don't hear that. You don't see white folks going up to other white folks saying that you got to do it. So understanding that black folks feel that way, why do they feel that way? It's not because of me. It's because of the position that I'm in. I have a platform that most of us don't have. And so what they're doing is calling upon me to bring light and to bring attention to things just the same way you might ask an athlete to, if not more so. Now, with the athlete, you're asking them to say something and be active in that regard. With me, you're not only asking me to say something, you're asking me to be that conduit for others to speak as well, to make sure that I provide the platform for others that need to be heard to be heard. And I take that role very, very seriously. I don't feel compelled to agree with any damn body and say what I don't feel. But I do feel compelled to make sure that even if you disagree with me, if you speak for a vast majority of us, you need to be heard. And so what I try to do is make sure that I do that. And in that regard, that's where I look at myself beyond the world of sports, using sports to extend myself beyond it, to address more deeper issues, enlightening myself, educating myself, either by reading more, watching more, learning more, but more importantly, connecting myself with people I know stuff, so they will educate me as well.
And I had one question too. I wanted to ask about LeBron putting together a team to purchase the Atlanta Dream. What do you think that could do for the WNBA? And how do we uplift the WNBA more so that they can make more money, get more endorsements, more people watch?
I love it because I think that LeBron is pretty brilliant with a lot of the things that he does. And obviously he's conscientious. And I think him owning a WNBA team is more about getting it away from Loeffler, the Senate figure that just lost in Georgia to Warnock. So I think that's what it's about for him more so than anything else. And I applaud his position on that. What I would say is this though, and I'll say this respectfully to all of those females out there, you know, the fellas, we got NBA, we got NFL, we got Major League Baseball, we got the boxing, we got the UFC, we got all of that. These women have been out there busting their tail for years trying to make the WNBA into something. Last time I checked, when you are successful in terms of ingratiating yourself with the average consumer out there, you usually are successful because you found a way to ingratiate yourself with that female audience. For some reason, females are not supporting the WNBA enough, because if they were, the WNBA would be far more successful than it is. So rather than folks talking about what the WNBA needs, how about the WNBA highlighting in the eyes of women out there, excuse me, we need all the support we can get from y'all, because when females step up and support you, you win.
I agree.
I'm on it.
Stephen, we appreciate you for checking in. Stephen A. Smith, thank you for checking in, brother.
Thank you. That new show starts when?
Stephen A.'s World debuts this Monday, January 11th on ESPN.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all. Y'all take care.
All right, it's the Breakfast Club with Stephen A. Smith. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Hove.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Well, yesterday, Jay-Z spoke at the OTC Markets Cannabis Investor Conference. And here's what he had to say, because, you know, he has his own line of cannabis, Monogram Cannabis brand. And here's Jay-Z.
You know, this space is very complicated, as you guys know. Black and brown people were affected by this cannabis industry in large proportions, you know, while at the same time not being allowed to participate. I guess Mike Rubin knows numbers better, like 6%, I think. They're very small numbers. So the idea was to create a brand, create a house of brands, and create opportunity for those that were negatively impacted by this prohibition area.
So what they're trying to do is have the largest portfolio of cannabis brands and other things that are affiliated with cannabis, and make sure that black and brown people are involved in that.
Yeah, that's, I think, dope. It's a huge business. It's a huge business. There's a lot of African-Americans and black people trying to get into that business. Hopefully, you know, they will allow us to and take off some of those high stipulations that they have. I mean, like the amount of assets that they want you to have is ridiculous. The amount of a lot of things, the regulations that they want you to do to have that company or to have a grow house is ridiculous. So hopefully
I do like
they'll open that up a little bit more.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that, you know, guys like Hov and, you know, there's other companies out there like, you know, Raekwon, the chef with Citizens Grown, who are just giving back to the people who were impacted the most because of the war on drugs, giving them opportunities to, you know, make money in the cannabis business. That's big.
Mm-hmm. All right, now Elon Musk has passed Jeff Bezos. He is now the richest man in the world, and that is because the increase in Tesla's share price pushed him past that. Jeff Bezos has been the richest person since 2017. Right now, he's currently worth about $184 billion, but Elon Musk's car company, Tesla, hit $750 billion for the first time on Wednesday. So Tesla is worth more than Toyota, Volkswagen, Hyundai, GM, and Ford combined.
Wow. I wouldn't be mad on being number two on that list, though. You know, that's a great list to be number two on.
Yeah, number two. I'll be top 10. Yeah. I'll be kill the damn. Be top 20. Nobody cares about number two. Please.
All right.
No
now,
losers
the
on that list?
Nope.
Was arrested yesterday, and they're saying that he was reportedly arrested on weapons charges in Beverly Hills. They said he was leaving the Montclair store on Rodeo Drive, and he and three other men were surrounded by the police just as they were about to drive off in their black SUV. There's video of it. And according to reports, they're saying that he did have a loaded firearm. That's what he was taken into custody for, which is a misdemeanor. He's already out, though, and he did already post in the studio, still on time for the meeting. So looks like he made it out immediately.
Yeah, there's right. Absolutely positively no reason for the good brother, the baby, to be carrying
a firearm.
His own firearms. Mm-hmm. He's got mad money. You can afford security.
Mm-hmm.
And I, by the way, I don't know if he had the firearm on him, you know, in this situation, but I'm just saying I hope not because he got security.
All right, now let's talk about Clubhouse because it goes down on Clubhouse. All kinds of secrets are told. Well, my guy Daz was on there from the Dog Pound, and he was talking about why Snoop and Eminem might have some issues. Here's what Daz had to say.
When I was talking to Snoop one time, he said that he asked Eminem and them to get on his song, you know, like to get on his album, and they told him no. And Snoop felt some type of way, like, I did all this and all that, and they tell me no. And, you know, Snoop like, no, nobody tell me no. But Eminem probably didn't even know that Snoop asked to do a song. That probably was Paul Rosenberg saying no.
So he took it personal.
They took it personal.
As he should have. He should have took it personal. As much as Snoop did for all of them and helped them. Yeah, and I asked you to get on my album, you told me no. I would take it personal.
Yeah,
too.
But I understand what Daz is saying because he might not have spoken directly. You know how sometimes you go through a person to get to the person, through another person, and then the artist you wanted to... Because I can't imagine Eminem saying no to Snoop. Just yeah, personally, like, I don't think he would. So it could be that he didn't even know.
Snoop ain't got to go through 20 people to get to Eminem, no?
Exactly. But either way, why the hell is Eminem so sensitive? Eminem would get on records and say what he want about people for years. But as soon as Snoop says, you know, M's not in his top 10, and Snoop was objective. Snoop said, yo, M is in a lot of people's top 10. He's just not in mine. Well, did that really warrant some
I don't think that's what he was upset about because Eminem said he wasn't him yeah, saying
he said it was his tone.
He said, that's
Mr.
fine.
Have you,
no, I think it was because he said I could live. I think it was because he said he could live without him or something like that.
Eminem has killed so many pop artists in his music. Okay? He's talking about people not living without people. He's killed so many pop artists in his music. But why is
I think
he
it's
so
they
sensitive
he
about this situation?
Cool. I think it's because he thought they were cool with each other. It's different when it's somebody you don't care about and they say something about you, but if you like, damn, where did that come from?
I'm sure Snoop thought they were cool, too, when Snoop asked him before to be on the album, and they said no.
I mean, you heard like what Snoop's Dad tone. Said, though. He thinks it was a misunderstanding. He probably, Eminem might not have even known.
But even if it was Rosenberg, that's his manager. That's his right-hand man. Like, should be the same thing.
We just don't know what happened. It could have been a misunderstanding.
I'll say this. Eminem must be tone deaf then, because he hasn't heard his own tone over the years. If you don't like somebody's tone all of a sudden, like, come on, you're Eminem, man. Knock it off.
I mean, if he felt a way about it, he could be honest and say it. I think that's fine, right?
But don't you think that's a little hypocritical? Especially being that he's said what he's wanted about people for years.
I mean, I think if you cool with somebody and then they say that about you and it comes out of nowhere and you're like, damn, where did that come from? It's probably different than if it's somebody you don't know or mess with. But anyway, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne, who you giving your donkey to?
You know, I'm giving Donkey of the Day to members of Al Cracker and Vanilla ISIS. I know yesterday I gave America Donkey of the Day, but today I'm doing my civic duty, and we have to help the FBI identify some of these fools, okay? I'm just going to do my job this morning. That's all. We'll
okay, so snitching is okay today, right? Just being clear, yes.
I'm a civilian. Okay. I've never had a problem.
I'm for real.
I know you mad because we said something about Eminem, Yee, but yes, I'm a civilian. I'm fine.
I'm just asking a question. I just want to make sure everybody out there is okay.
Charlamagne said, I'm for real. I'm telling on everything.
That's right. Especially on these members of Al Cracker and Vanilla ISIS. Absolutely, because they would do it to us in a heartbeat.
All right, Donkey Today's up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes. Donkey of the Day for Friday, January 8th, goes to members of Al Cracker and Vanilla ISIS. Now, I know I gave America Donkey of the Day yesterday for what happened at the Capitol building, but this morning I am performing my civilian duties. I am a six-figure tax-paying citizen in this country, and I am about to do something that the good brother Pharrell would proudly do, and that's...
I'm not a tough guy, bro. Okay?
I'm not finished. Oh, what the hell's wrong with y'all this morning?
I got excited.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I'm sure y'all heard Pharrell on Drink Champs with N.O.R.E. and DJ Effin a couple of weeks ago. Drop on the clues bomb for Drink Champs. If you haven't heard the conversation, make sure you go check out that episode on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, can we play a little clip of what Pharrell had to say, Dramos?
I'm not a tough guy, bro. I really believe in paying taxes because when you pay taxes, you shouldn't feel no kind of way dialing 911. I'm f***ing snitching.
Pharrell, I'm with you. That's not snitching, by the way. You aren't a criminal and you aren't committing crimes with any of these people, okay? And I've told y'all before, I have no problem seeing something and saying something simply because I am not in the street. As I just said, I am a six-figure tax-paying citizen who has read enough Spider-Man comics and watched enough Spider-Man movies to know that if Peter Parker had stopped that guy who robbed the dude who didn't pay him after that wrestling match, Uncle Ben would still be alive today. Okay, see, what your Uncle Charlotte is using Marvel Comics to explain to you is when you see something and don't say something, you just keep recycling that something in your communities, and eventually that something will come back to bite you. That's just the way it is, okay? That person that you don't tell on for committing a heinous crime will eventually do a heinous crime on you or someone you love, period. So with that said, I was reading an article on CNBC. And the FBI is requesting help from the public to identify U.S. Capitol rioters. Their words, not mine. Yes, the FBI is demanding help to find those domestic terrorists, those members of Al-Qaeda and Vanilla ISIS, because apparently when it comes to them, all of a sudden the FBI can't get into their Facebook and Instagram accounts. When it comes to indicting rappers and PPP scammers, the FBI stands for Facebook and Instagram, but apparently now they need the public's help identifying people. I literally know who some of these members of Vanilla ISIS and Al-Qaeda are because of social media. All right? FBI, don't act like you don't follow Sean King. You've been monitoring Sean King for some time now. And that man has found enough crackers in the past 24 hours that he could feed Polly and any other parrot for a month. So FBI, if you're not following, allow me, Charlemagne the God, to do my civic duty and give you some names of the members of Al-Qaeda and Vanilla ISIS. It's incredible to me that the FBI posted on Twitter and Facebook to help in identifying the Capitol Hill terrorists when all these domestic terrorists are on social media incriminating themselves like they got an album coming out. Okay? Now, the first Al-Qaeda-ass clout chaser is Jenny Cudd. Listen to her.
We did break down Nancy Pelosi's office door, and somebody stole her gavel, took a picture sitting in the chair, flipping off the camera, and that was on Fox News. Patriots got down on the floor and were sitting in the House members in the senator's chair.
Jenny Cudd, admission of guilt. Second Al-Qaeda-ass clout chaser is Thomas Barini. Listen to him.
Yeah, I'm Thomas Barani from New Jersey.
Can you show us your hand?
Yeah.
How did you get that on your hand?
Well, we had stormed into the chambers inside, and there was a young lady who rushed through the windows. A number of police and Secret Service were saying, get back. They shot her in the neck.
FBI, are you listening? We just getting started. This member of Vanilla ISIS is Josiah Coat. Listen to him.
I just got in the Capitol building. I was the first one. I hopped down into the chamber, and I was the first one to sit. And Nancy Pelosi, that bitch, she's a traitor. She's treasonous.
FBI, I don't know how you missed this one. Derek Evans, he is a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates. Did you hear me? He is a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates, a West Virginia lawmaker, and he participated in this home invasion of the U.S. Capitol. I've seen CNN, the New York Times, NBC News, CBS News, USA Today, the Washington Post, and a list of others. All these outlets identify this man, but the FBI can't. Listen to Derek Evans as he talks about Al-Qaeda storming the United States Capitol.
The door's cracked. They're in. Let's go. Keep it moving, baby. We're in, baby.
We did it! FBI, come on now. Last time y'all had it this easy picking people up and identifying folks was when y'all locked up Trey Way, okay, with the help of federal informant Daniel Hernandez. Now, you know who else you can grab? Paul Davis, a Texas lawyer who got fired for being at the U.S. Capitol. Oh, he was live streaming on Instagram. Listen to him.
All we're doing is demanding that our public officials audit the vote, audit the Dominion machines, audit the ballots. There's a way to do it. We can solve this in 2 days. If this was a legitimate election, then let us inspect it. And if Biden won, let's all go on with our lives.
Now, our producer, Dan, drop on the clues bombs for Dan. Dan found all that audio. He don't work for the FBI. All he got is Google, okay? Now, the rest of the people I'm going to name, they don't have any audio that we found. But this one is very important. I need this next member of Vanilla ISIS locked up today, all right? His name is Richard Barnett, a.k.a. Osama Bin Racist. All right, he is the one who was in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office with his feet on the desk. He was the one who was posing with Nancy Pelosi's mail. He's from Arkansas. He broke into Nancy Pelosi's office. He stole her mail. and he's not in prison. FBI, what's up? What's happening? Okay, you need help? I'm giving you all the help you need. You know we got more people. There's a Florida fireman named Andrew Williams. All right, the dude who was in the Viking costume, who looks like he wanted a career as the Times Square naked cowboy but didn't have enough gas in his pickup truck to make it to the big city. His name was Jake Angeli. And oh, the guy who stole the podium, his name is Adam Johnson. He's a father of five. He's 36 years old, and he's from Parrish, Florida. What does your Uncle Charlotte always tell you about people in Florida? It doesn't even matter right now. The moral of the story is, lock them up. I'm telling you right now, do you need me to take the stand? Do you need me to come to court and start identifying people? I'm not Tariq St. Patrick. I'm Nino Brown, okay? And I'm not guilty. Al Crack is the one that's guilty. This thing is bigger than Charlemagne the God. We talking Hellman's huge. Jars and jars of mayonnaise. Lock them up for treason, for staging an attempted coup. Give them all the mandatory 10-year minimum Trump said he would give folks under the recently enacted Statue and Monuments Act. I encourage everyone who can hear my voice. This is your Uncle Charlotte talking, okay? This is Leonard, all right? The FBI needs our help. They are accepting tips in digital media depicting rioting or violence in and around the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Well, I want anyone who can hear my voice to call 1-800-CALL-FBI. That's 1-800-CALL-FBI. If you need the number because you can't read, 1-800-225-5324. That's 1-800-225-5324. Or how about we just have a petty party with a purpose on the FBI's Twitter and FBI's Instagram? Send them all the names and pictures you can on both their Instagram and Twitter. The handle is simple. It's at FBI. Send them all the pics you find, all the names, and make sure you use the hashtag Owlcracker or Vanilla ISIS. Go! Do that right now. That's our job all weekend until they start locking these members of Al Qaeda and Vanilla ISIS up. We have to get these guys off the street, because if they would do that to the Capitol, they would do that anywhere. As long as folks like that are on the street, none of us are safe. And in the words of Chris Rock,
I ain't scared of Al Qaeda. I'm scared of Al Qaeda.
Please. Let Kathy Griffin give all these members of Vanilla ISIS and Al Cracker the biggest hee-haw.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
Come on,
goodness
run.
Gracious.
Do your jobs. Run. Do your jobs. The handle is simple. It's at FBI. Send them all the pics and all the names you can find, since they're having so much trouble identifying these members of Vanilla ISIS and Al Cracker.
You should play Blow the Whistle after this one, boy. Woo! Good job, Charlamagne. Great job. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for
I knew the son of a police officer would feel that way.
You should have gave addresses. That's what you should have did. But we could
if
do
I
that.
Had him, I would have.
We could did that on the social media. All right. Now, up next, we have Angela Rye. Angela Rye will be joining us. We'll kick it with Miss Rye.
Angela Rye.
Find out what's going on with
Angela Rye since we came back from vacation last week.
All right, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club on this Friday. We got a special guest on the line right now. Our sister, Miss Angela Rye. Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. How are you?
How are you doing up so early?
I am up so early because The Breakfast Club rang. All right.
I guess you don't have to worry about impeaching him, or do we have to worry about impeaching him? Because you got a couple.
Yes, we do. You know, Envy, I knew you were going to ask this, and what's so crazy is you think about all of the times you've raised this and all of the reasons why. It is one of those things where we got to the point where we would kind of laugh about it, but it was never really a joke. It's one of those things where in our culture, you know, we laugh to keep from crying. It is the thing that we say all the time about so much, whether it's interpersonal things in our families or when you have a crazy president. And this is something that the culture has called from the very beginning. We knew who Donald Trump was before he was ever coming down the escalator, you know, trying to announce his run for presidency. We knew that he was crazy when he was calling Barack Obama, or saying Barack Obama was not a citizen. He's the one who was the chief spokesperson of the birther movement. That's someone who should have really never had a shot at being president. Yet here we are, rules of law broken, ethics violated, like across the board. And here we are still talking about whether or not he should be impeached. It should have never been a question. So as you all probably know, Ilhan Omar, who of course is a member of the squad, fantastic, brilliant member of Congress, introduced another resolution for his impeachment just yesterday. Cori Bush, who is the incoming member from St. Louis, Missouri, introduced a resolution for the members of the GOP in the House to be removed from office for, the quote is, for backing attempts to overthrow Biden's victory, right? They are both complicit and they should be impeached and removed.
Why don't they just call that a coup? Is that that language they use? Like,
oh yeah, but I'm just telling you what specifically what it says in her resolution. But I think many members, and especially now finally members of the media, are calling it an attempted coup because it absolutely was. And so what you see here are the facts that now all of a sudden, I was on air with a Republican who said, you know, over the last 2 weeks, Donald Trump is just, and you're like, the last 2 weeks? He's been doing this the whole time. And I think for us, you know, it's not a direct form of gaslighting, right? It's not the thing where they're like, oh no, the sky is orange, it's not blue. It is really one of those things where we're like, we've been telling you this, and we knew it was going to come down to this. Leonard, you've said for years now that the right-wing media has kind of been ginning some of these things up, whether we're talking about the podcast or radio, or we're talking about what happens on Fox News. They've been ginning this up, and they are all culpable. And until there is something that is the that is antithetical to what is out there in right-wing media, they're going to continue to listen to that garbage. Those Facebook chat, like all of those things, right, have created this ecosystem of crazy, and Donald Trump is at the center of it.
What would be the point of impeaching Trump again right now? It's very important to say again, because he has been impeached before. What would be the point to impeach him again right now? It's only 12 days left.
Well, and here's the reality of it, to come full circle back to Envy's original question as well. It is not likely. Sure, the House, because they have the majority, could vote to impeach him again. But there still is that second part where there's the Senate trial, because they didn't impeach him for obstruction of justice before. The Senate would have to go through the trial, and Mitch McConnell still has the majority because Raphael Warnock is not sworn in. Georgia's Secretary of State has until January 22nd to certify the results of the election for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. So that still puts us at a disadvantage. Most importantly, that's not going to happen by January 20th, which is when, of course, Joe Biden becomes the president of the United States and is sworn in.
Gotcha. What about Donald Trump getting arrested? What's the likelihood of something like that happening? And I see that he's trying to pardon himself as well and finding out about, is that possible? So do you think that he could get arrested?
Yeah, I think he could get arrested. Here's my question. Will Merrick Garland, who was selected as Barack Obama's Supreme Court pick because he was deemed acceptable enough by the Republican Party, moderate enough, you know, isn't radical enough, and in a lot of ways, I think that there should have been an attorney general appointed, not Merrick Garland, who has some fight in them, who has a demonstrative record of being an advocate for issues that people of color certainly care deeply about. But even when it comes to taking on something that will be deemed a squarely partisan fight, because unfortunately, even though Republicans are trying to back away from it now, we know it would happen if it was time for him to go to jail, because they would all be scared. I think him being prosecuted on this particular issue is going to be tough for Merrick Garland to take on. And even with that, he still has to be nominated, right? He has to be nominated and approved, voted on by the Senate. And it is a 50-50 split, with Kamala being the tie-breaking vote, right, every time. So I think after John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock are sworn in, his nomination will still be difficult. If they know that Merrick Garland would be prosecuting Donald Trump, I think that all hell would break loose, and it would be very tough for people like Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who has sided with Trump, who endorsed Trump at some point, and John Tester in Montana, who both have races coming up in the next cycle.
Do you think they would actually put an American president in prison? And the reason I say that is because both Republicans and Democrats were saying at one time they don't know how it would look to the world if an American president was actually in jail, even though they believe that Trump should be in jail. But do you think they would put him in jail the way it would look to the world?
You know, I think that's really a great question, Envy, and I don't know the answer to it. What I can tell you now is how have we looked to the world for the last 20 years? You know, like we look crazy now. We should be most concerned with ensuring that we do whatever we need to do at this point to protect our national security interests. The coup, you know, Leonard, as you so aptly put it the other day, this attempted coup has now demonstrated to other crazy people, Proud Boys, you know, right-wing extremists, racists, that it is possible to break into the Capitol and put in jeopardy the lives of members of Congress and Capitol Hill staff, of which I was one for 6 years, right? There are people overseas, foreign adversaries who are watching this and see that that is now possible. That to me, if there is no jailable offense for Donald Trump, that is certainly one. You know, among all of the other things, again, that we've all talked to his family for years now about.
All right. Well,
now, what about members of the cabinet and some of his allies stepping down now? After all of this, we go right before he's no longer going to be president to say, okay, I'm stepping away and separating myself.
Let's do that when we come back. We have Angela right here. We're talking to her about everything that's going on in this world. 800-585-1051. Don't move. We're still kicking it with Angela Rye on this Friday. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne right now has that Teddy Riley Wi-Fi. His Wi-Fi is all over the place. Shout out to Teddy Riley. I know Teddy Riley hates when we say that, but it's just old jokes.
It's funny.
His Wi-Fi is out. Now, you just asked a question before we just left, right?
Yeah, we were talking about some of Donald Trump's allies and members of the cabinet who are now stepping down. We saw Betsy DeVos has stepped down finally. And so I want to know, what is the meaning of even doing that right now? There's only 12 days left.
This is what we call the politics of convenience, right? Elaine Chao, who is also the wife of Mitch McConnell, who's the Secretary of Transportation, is also resigning. You have the Social Secretary at the White House, Melania Trump's chief of staff, like all of these people now, who are saying that, okay, this has gone too far. And this is kind of what I was referencing at the top of the top of the interview, where, you know, folks are like, they finally have come to and seen the light. And it's like, hey, we've been telling you all this. We knew that it was going to come to this, and it's convenient for them. Why? Guess what they got to do after January 20th, when they about to lose their jobs. They got to go somewhere else. They want to go sit on corporate boards. They want to go advise and be consulting and talking to clients about how to engage with administrations. They're not going to be able to do that now that they are, you know, they frankly have bloody hands, quite literally, right, with four people dead because of an attempted coup, all at the hands of their boss. So they said, well, they tried to talk to Donald Trump to get him to talk people off the ledge. Well, he just talked them onto that ledge, and he's been doing that since the election. Right. So that's the real problem. To me, it's not, oh, you're courageous and you have all this integrity. No, you're self-serving. Even when you look at what happened with Mark Zuckerberg saying that he was permanently now suspending Donald Trump's accounts on Facebook and on Instagram. Sir,
you should have did that.
That's right.
I got so many questions. One question I have, when he stormed Capitol Hill, right?
Yeah.
The one cop that shot the lady, was he black? And why was he put on desk duty so fast? I mean, you see videos of officers shoot and kill black people with no weapons, and there's an investigation. Why was he put on desk duty so fast?
You know, I really want to speak to the emotion part of that conversation first, Envy. So many of us have these conversations when we're talking about another black person who was shot by the police, and we cannot figure out why it takes so long for the person to be fired. They're placed on administrative leave, which often means they're still paid.
Right.
You know, we just saw the other day, Jacob Blake's perpetrators are not going to be charged, right? You have all of these instances where these things happen, and we did not do anything. Here you have people who are literally storming the Capitol, many of them armed. You know, bombs found, explosive devices found at the Capitol and right near the Capitol at our RNC headquarters. You have all of these
zip ties, like they were going to kidnap people.
Yes. You saw pictures with the guy with zip ties, all of these things happening. And yet and still, a black officer, to your point, was running from them, knowing full well in his mind, Envy, like we're talking about, that if he turns around and shoots these people, he's going to be the one that go to jail. The fact that they bombarded their way with weapons into the Capitol, be damned. Most importantly, what we are thinking about is the disparity in justice, knowing what we saw over the summer. Dion, who's like a little brother to me in L.A., got shot in the face with a rubber bullet and he wasn't doing anything. So how can we watch this happen? We can watch, see Capitol Police opening the gates. There was no plan to deal with this, even though members of Congress, including Congresswoman Waters, she tweeted yesterday, she told him this was going to happen last week. Where was the plan? Why weren't you all talking with other law enforcement agencies to ensure nothing like this could happen?
So because white people don't look at other white people as terrorists. That's why.
And also many of the folks who were involved in this, best believe, we're going to find out real soon, it's a bunch of them who are law enforcement officials.
For all your folks on the Hill, how do they feel knowing some of those police officers were aiding and abetting, you know, those rioters? Because that clearly was an inside job. How do you even keep anybody that is a police officer there still working right now?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. There actually needs to be a congressional hearing on this. What went wrong? Why did this happen? Like, everyone needs to get background checks again. There's a good friend of mine, Unique Gibson, who is the founder of Because of Them We Can. Her dad was a Capitol Hill police officer for years, and he went through a litany. She has a great thread on Twitter about this, of all the things that went wrong and what happened even when Barack Obama was being sworn in, and the fact that they did random background checks on officers. They found some, right, that had problematic records and didn't let them engage with even Barack Obama's inauguration. That stuff should have been happening. Kamala Harris is a Black woman. If they're mad now, imagine how they're going to be inauguration week. Exactly. You know, there's a lot that we have to be thinking about. We don't know what this was the beginning of. And again, to us, it wasn't the beginning.
And that's why he has to get arrested, because if there's no consequences and repercussions to this attempted coup, what happens next?
Yeah.
What would they
do? Yeah, I agree with you. It just feels to me like, you know, even seeing Donald Trump Jr.'s posts where they're watching all of this happen on TVs, like, nothing is going on. It just feels like nothing matters. And again, it goes back to what it means to be Black in America and to be constantly gaslit. You might not be directly lied to, but what you see is this disparity in justice applied, right? And I think that's something that this country really has to wrestle with, and quickly, because now we're seeing that the inability to apply equal justice under the law to all of us could be deadly for many of us.
We're considered thugs and they're considered patriots.
Absolutely. And we got to see on the Hill that day, taking down the US flag that they were pissed at Colin about, taking down that flag that they say we need to wear the flag pin and we need to pledge of allegiance to. They took that flag down, put up a Trump flag. They were carrying Confederate flags all throughout the Capitol, right? If that's the case, now what we see very clearly is that the flag has always been a symbol of white supremacy. Those flags are interchangeable to them. And that's what we know. And that is our reluctance to pledge allegiance to the flag. That is our reluctance to sing this national anthem. And that is why we don't see the flag the same way they do.
Ryan, real quick, because we got to go. My internet was going out, so I don't even know if you answered this or not. Number one, can he self-pardon himself? And real quick, what is the 25th Amendment they keep talking about they want to use to get him out?
So really quickly on the self-pardon, I don't know the answer to that. That has never happened. I think that is something that will end up being left to the courts. If he attempted to do it, I think that there would definitely be, you know, some legal intervention where they say, hey, this is impossible. This is not how this was designed nor intended. Of course, we know that he's not followed any other rule or law while he's been in office. On the 25th Amendment, of course, that was created when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And what it has been used, I think, 6 times in history. The most recent time was when presidents fell ill. It's never been used because of someone's mental incapacity. And I think that the challenge we have here is the same thing. It's timing, right? The same kind of timing we were talking about around impeachment and removal. Just for example, when Gerald Ford became vice president under Nixon, that whole process took 2 months. We don't have that much time. So even though it should be invoked, I don't know that it will be. And I definitely don't see the timeline there.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Angela Rye, we appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much.
Go check out that hotels, Angela Rye. Your girl Jasmine Sullivan dropped. It's out right now.
Oh, I already know. I posted on her thing. I can't wait for this album, so I can't wait to hear it. But I'm not gonna let you end on me calling me no damn hotel. So
I ain't calling you a hotel. I just know you enjoy a good hotel, and the album came out. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go enjoy the hotels. Y'all enjoy your morning.
All right, it's Angela Rye. Club. Good morning. Rumors on the way.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so last night on Fox Soul, my show Established came on, and I had Megan Good on. And it was an amazing interview. And one thing that she talked about was freezing her eggs. And she'll be 40 this year. And she's talking about finally feeling like she's ready to have kids. Here's what she said.
You know, I'm about ready. And it's taken me a long time to get here. I'm like a big Halle Berry fan. When I saw that she had her first baby at like 40, I was like, I think I'm gonna be like that. I never really aspired to marriage. I never really aspired to motherhood. And you know, once I got married and I realized that that can still work, you can still be who you are. It kind of now has made me excited about motherhood because I'm like, okay, I can work at both. I can still be the true identity of who I am. And I can also be a mother and be a great one. So I've just now gotten to that place and I'll be 40 next year. And I'm like, okay, it's about that time.
Now, Megan Good also just directed her first feature film. It's called If Not Now, When? So you can check that out. Did you know her father was a member of the LAPD also?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she discussed his what she has to say to her dad and the kind of conversations that happen at home.
Yeah, and you know, shout out to my wife, Gia. She's been telling a lot of her friends for the last 10 years that, you know, you should freeze your eggs just in case. You don't want to get to the age and you're not able to produce the eggs as much, that you should always take it out. And some insurances do cover that. So you can definitely have those eggs on stash just in case.
I got mad homegirls mm-hmm. who got their eggs frozen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's talk about Bun B. He has confirmed that there is going to be a UGK versus battle, and it looks like it's going to be against 8-Ball and MJG. So that's who it probably will be against. And he doesn't know when that's going to be scheduled for, but he said the very latest would be during springtime. He said it's kind of pushed back because of the Ashanti and Keisha Cole, and they're trying to find the right time to do a lot of this stuff, but it's going to go down.
Classic. Those brothers are forefathers of the South. A lot of country, legendary rap tunes between 8-Ball and MJG and UGK. That is going to be a fantastic versus.
Do we know when Keisha Cole and Ashanti is going to happen?
No, they just said it was postponed again. So they haven't put a new date yet.
All right. Now, Dr. Dre, they're saying, has agreed to pay $2 million in temporary spousal support to his estranged wife. And he agreed to that from his hospital bed. So he won't have to pay the additional $5 million in attorney fees that she was requesting. And he also doesn't have to cover her security costs, but he will continue to pay her living expenses at their Malibu estate, as well as her mother's Pacific Palisades home for the next several months.
I need to know how long is temporary. How long is temporary in this situation?
Well, they said at least until their next scheduled hearing in April. So that's just a one-time check right now that he has to do for $2 million. Mm-hmm. And then in April, they have a scheduled hearing to figure out what's next.
You don't want that stress.
I mean, if you're Dr. Dre, I guess you got to look at the bright side and say, hey, at least I got it to give for the month. Can you imagine that, writing a $2 million check just for a month, temporary, and being like, whatever, man, here.
Well, it's until April. It's a one-time check until April. So it's not just for 1 month.
That's $2 million, though.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot of money. They were married for 24 years, though, and he acquired a lot of money during that time. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, now Lil Wayne and Kodak Black reportedly are on Donald Trump's potential list of pardons, so they might. Who knows if he pardons them? And I think the pardons have to happen on the 19th because inauguration's on the 20th. So that's when all those pardons are going to happen. So we shall see. They're on the list. I don't know if, you know, he's going to feel obligated to do that right now because he's not going to be president, but maybe he will. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. Add Big Meech to that list while you're at it. And I would really wonder, what his why would be. What would his why be for doing that? I would want to know why he would want to do that. I'm happy he's
maybe
doing it.
Maybe because they supported
him. Why.
I mean, Lil Wayne supported him, right?
I'm sure he'll do
Lil Wayne. I think Kodak Black did.
Nah, Kodak Black didn't. Kodak Black asked for Trump to pardon him, though.
All right, now Jasmine Sullivan, her new Hotels project is out. She hates when people call it an album. It's her project that's out, and it's really amazing. So I really want to tell people this weekend while you're chilling, make sure you check out this project from Jasmine Sullivan. It's really fun and a good listen to. And congratulations to Yella Beezy also. He's welcomed a newborn son. So congratulations.
Congrats to Beezy. Yep, absolutely.
And did y'all see the leak of his... It was a little news leak that came out? No.
Wasn't checking.
It was trending.
I don't be on those kind of websites. I didn't see that.
It was on Twitter. He actually walked into the room. It's like a video. He's waving a gun around the living room and his pants are down and you can see his stuff swinging around. And he blamed it on his children's mother, saying that she put the security footage on her Instagram story by accident because she was playing too much. All right. Well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back.
And listen. Mm-hmm. I want to tell people, too, man, go out there and pre-order Tamika Mallory's upcoming book, State of Emergency, How to Win in the Country That We Built. It's available May 11th of this year on Black Privilege, Simon & Schuster Publishing. But you can pre-order it right now wherever you purchase books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever. Because, I saw everybody reposting Tamika's tweet from a couple of days ago. And I'm just like, if you like those words, you will definitely like her book.
Okay. All right. Well, happy birthday to my brother, DJ Clue. Let me go get into making Clue classics. You know, Clue had, what, 2, 3, 4 albums. All went platinum. First, so we're going to get some
first mixtape DJ to ever go platinum.
That's
ever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there has not been a DJ who's made better albums. No, you know what? I'll be totally honest because I'm not a hater. The only other DJ who I think has made albums as incredible as DJ Clue is Funkmaster Flex. That's just right. My unbiased, objective opinion. Those 60 Minutes of Funks were the volume 1, 2, and 3 were dope.
But those are freestyles on people's beats that was out already. Though. All right. Totally two different things. But, shout out to my brother Clue. We're going to get on a Clue mix right now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. And let me shout out to my brother, DJ Clue. Today is Clue's birthday.
Happy birthday, my Capricorn brother, DJ Clue.
Y'all all know how I feel about Clue. If it wasn't for Clue, I wouldn't be a DJ right now. He's the one that introduced me to the music industry, introduced me to mixtapes, introduced me to the radio. He even introduced me to my car addiction. He was the first person that was heavy into the cars and getting cars first. So I always say thank you to him because I know if it wasn't for him, who knows what I would be doing right now. And I'm so grateful and appreciative. And that's why I try to encourage so many of the youth to do different things, whether it's entrepreneurship or it's DJing, it's real estate, it's, anything it is, because you want to, put that positive vibes and that positive energy in the kids' atmospheres out there. So thank you to my brother, DJ Clue.
Salute to the DJ good brother, Clue. DJ Clue, man. Drop on the Clue's bombs for DJ Clue. He is an absolute legend. Who I feel like doesn't get the respect he deserves in our culture, but I also think it's because Clue doesn't tell his story enough. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to remind folks nowadays. If you don't, people forget, man. So salute to Clue, and I thank Clue for being the gremlin that ate after midnight, got wet, and DJ Envy popped off, and Fabulous popped off, and... It's a lot of people, that were fruit off Clue's tree. That's a fact.
Absolutely. And also shout out to Angie Martinez. Her birthday's tomorrow, my Capricorn sister. I know we've done birthday parties together in the past. This year, I know everything's all virtual. I know she has some things going on. So happy birthday, Angie Martinez.
Definitely. Happy birthday, Angie Mar.
Angie's another one. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, she doesn't get the appreciation that she should. In our culture, you know what I mean? I feel like she gets more than Clue, but she don't get the appreciation she should get,
Correct.
Salute to Angie Martinez.
Correct. And Angie's another one. If it wasn't for Angie, I wouldn't be doing radio. Angie had, when she had her son, Nico, she took maternity leave and they needed somebody to fill in and they put me into that position and put me that spot, which actually gave me an opportunity. So happy birthday to Angie,
man,
too.
I love hearing how the Spanish community is looking out for each other. You know what I'm saying? DJ Clue looked out for his Dominican brother, DJ Envy. Mm-hmm. Puerto Rican sister, Angie Martinez, looked out for her Dominican brother. That is an amazing thing.
Yo,
man.
Shut up, man. Clue is black and I'm black. Angie is Puerto Rican. So, well, shout out to
And Clue's real name is Ernest Rodriguez. Ernesto Rodriguez.
It's not Ernest, man. It's Ernesto Shaw. You just make stuff up, man. Goodness gracious. All right, when we come back, we got the positive note. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.